tell you about Public Square. There are several lines that meet other edges.
Youth of this country who are already in a disillusioned, disenchanted state will be encouraged.
Where we talk about the fine margins. Sometimes it's black, white, and blurry.
It's also informed by the need to save costs and reduce legislative time.
Then there are the actors right at the center, coming through political processes, which could be dramatic.
To the extent of this abysmal, if Parliament does not raise this money.
And controversial.
If driving through the roads is engaging the macabre, compatibility is that of government.
And there's you to help connect the dots from the top to the bottom. Join Rotimi Sankore and Arogo Obo at the Public Square every Friday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. 99.3 Nigeria Info.
All right, 99.3 Nigeria Info. This is the Public Square. My name is Binga Oreshogun, and I'm going to be standing in for Arogo Obo. Now, on today's Public Square, you know, today's Public Square, we don't have a single big topic. So, Rotimi Sankara and I will be doing a series of updates on significant issues related to the 2023 general elections. Remember, I told you, I'm Binga Oreshogun, I'm standing in for Agogo Obo. And remember, you can engage the program on Twitter, on social media, at Public Square NG, and also at Rotimi Sankore, and also at Agogo Obo, and also at Nigeria Info FM. Also on WhatsApp at 0809-597-5805. And I'm also on social media on Twitter at Binga Oreshogun. So we're going to be looking at the Ekiti governorship elections. But before then, I need to bring Mr. Rotimi Sankore on board. Mr. Rotimi Sankore, good evening.
Hello, Binga. Yeah. Very rainy.
Yeah, it's a rain
day. I hear.
Rain showers, yes. I tell you. Rain showers. I hope you're not feeling too cold, though.
No, it's not affecting me.
Okay, that's good. All right, so let's get into the show. Okay, so we're going to be looking at the AKT governorship reflections, and everyone knows the results by now, so we know that's not news. Okay, but it is worth highlighting that a third force party came second, beating one of the so-called big two political parties. How did that come to you?
Benga, now, even allowing that Mr. Oni, the candidate of the SDP, the Social Democratic Party, has been a former governor, you know, even allowing for that, so the candidate himself is not really third force, but, you know, people seem to be making allowance for third force description based on the party, not the candidate. For example, Peter Obi has been in PDP and APGA, and he's been former governor. So classically, as an individual, he doesn't qualify as third force, but because he's now in Labour Party, it is deemed acceptable that the party is the third force. And since it is the party that, you know, is on the ballot paper, not the candidate's name, you know, it seems to be acceptable now. So in that context, we can accept SDP as a third force in the Ekiti elections. Now, the SDP not only beat PDP to third place, that is, SDP came second, but if you look at the spread of the local governments in which the SDP defeated PDP, it is quite significant. So it's not just that Oni and SDP came second to the APC, but that the spread. Now, what's the significance of this? Left to APC and PDP, they will swear that voting for a third force candidate is a waste of votes, and that it is only APC and PDP that can win election. They claim they are the only two parties with structure, and therefore they are really the only two choices left for the masses to vote for. Now, Ekiti, the significance is that that is not true. It shows that a third party can beat one or maybe even either of them. Okay, Ekiti is a relatively small state, not very complicated, but it is still significant. So anybody looking at that election now should note that if anybody in PDP or APC tells you that voting for another party is a waste of time, it is them that are actually wasting time. I mean, that is the significance of Ekiti. So while APC won and they are jubilating and the president says it shows APC is still a sellable party, well, it is the voters that had the say. So will that happen in every state? Will that happen nationally? Nobody knows, probably not. But the significance is that a third party can beat one of them. And actually, it is a reminder, because don't forget, Labour Party won the governorship elections in Ondo State, but Mimiko defected. APGA won the governorship election in Anambra State, and the governor held, which is why APGA is still there today. So the history of Nigeria shows us that some kind of change, in quotes, is possible. Don't forget, the incumbent president defeated a sitting president. So the idea that if you are the incumbent party, you will win the election automatically, that is also not true. So, I mean, that, in summary, that's the significance of that.
So now, up to 26 former governors, reported to be running for the National Assembly. Resume 26. 26. Very huge number. Now, is this a coincidence, do you?
No, it's not a coincidence at all, because...
So it's a norm.
Well, people joke that they are going there for retirement home. Actually, they are not going to retire. They are going there to defend their interests and to hold on to power. Remember that you can do two terms as governor, but you can do 100 years as senator. If you keep winning the primary and you keep winning the election.
Exactly.
So effectively, this is taking also, and now this is the thing. When I did an updated check, I realized that actually it's up to 28 of them. So this is almost a third of the candidates running for the Senate are former governors. So effectively, it's another way of holding on to power. And don't forget, with the exception of one of them, with the exception of one former governor, who I don't need to name because I don't want to be seen to be promoting him, now he's running for a higher office, with the exception of that one person, to the best of my knowledge, all the other governors are still drawing their pension for life. So if they now join the Senate and they get their salary plus allowances, which Senator Shehu Sani once kindly alerted us is just under 14 million naira, you add that to the pension for life plus all the other OBE, then you know the number of people that that have their hand in the national cooking jar is being concentrated into fewer and fewer people. But really, it's no coincidence that the number of them just keeps increasing year on year. It's not a coincidence.
Okay, so all after saying all of this, who are they? The 26 governors.
Well, I mean, some are immediately recognizable with one name.
Okay.
Somebody like Oshiomhole, you don't need to say too much. You don't even need to mention the states he's from. So, but I will just go through the states, through the names quickly.
Okay.
And Google is your friend if you want to. If you don't know their states, Google is your friend to find out where they were former governors. So there is Oshiomhole, there is Wamako, Okay. There is a Yari. I mean, these are first name basis kind of people. There is Kangiru Gaya. There is a Bagudu. There is a Chima Roke, Al Makura, Danjuma Goje, Lalong, Oji Kalu, Gwenga Daniel, Sani Bello, Shetima, Autumn, Theodio Oji, different from Oji Kalu, the two names being mentioned.
Okay.
Uguanyi, Ifanyi, Darius Ishaku, Ibrahim Geidam, Seriaki, Dixon, Okezie Ikpazu, Saminu Turaki, Gabriel Suswan, Ibrahim Shekau, Dave Umahi, Adamu Alero, Aminu Tambua, Sam Egu, and Dan Kwambo. So that's 28 that I know of now.
Okay.
I mean, the official list is not out.
Okay.
When it comes out, you know, it could be, but it is quite significant, okay. Really. It is really, really quite significant.
Okay. So, having said all of this, 26, 28 former governors having salary, pension for life, and all the other emoluments and all. Now, what are the implications for Nigeria's democracy?
Well, first of all, the implication is that they are turning up in the National Assembly if they all win the seats with immense resources. So these are not ordinary senators, in quotes. I mean, they will be first among equals. Their states or geopolitical zone caucus will look up to them. They will tell them vote this way or vote that way, by virtue of previous status, by virtue of the resources that they are going to bring with them. Now, this concentrates and distorts the entire democratic process, because they will be wielding all kinds of sticks in the place. I mean, let me just give one example that is very important. The constitutional amendments that was passed recently, two are very significant, and those two are administrative and financial autonomy for local governments. Now, we know that many of these people as governors opposed local government autonomy, both administrative and democratic. Now, if they start liaising with the governors that succeed them to block the constitutional amendment, because I hope everybody knows that the constitutional amendment was passed 2/3 of the houses of assembly at the state level. So if former governors are liaising, for instance, with current or future governor to say, I beg, don't pass it, that means that that constitutional amendment falls, which means that the governance at the local government level collapses even further. Now, I know that for many people, especially young people, if you were 10 years old in 1999, when this republic started, you are going to 30 now. So in your worldview, local government probably doesn't matter, which is why many young people think it's an insult when somebody is told go and start at local government level. But actually, local government matters, because for people like me, who have lived and worked abroad for more than 20 years in countries where local government works, in some of those countries, it is called borough. So, you know, the borough of New York, for instance, something like that. Now, these local governments or boroughs, they do things that people assume the federal government should be doing. For instance, local governments build and run primary schools and secondary schools in developed countries. Community center, youth center, housing, even things like water. So, for instance, local governments liaise, if it is a federal country, they liaise with the state government to ensure, for instance, that every local government has a water treatment plant. What is the significance of that? The significance is that if every local government has a water treatment plant, then everybody will have pipe-borne water. The water will flow into your house. You don't need to spend 200 or 300 naira a day buying pure water or whatever you know, to wash, to cook. Yes, if you are minimum wage, you won't need to spend, if you have two or three children, you are earning 30,000 naira, you won't have to spend 15,000 naira on water a month. It means that in a place like Lagos, you will not have, you know, Lagos is said to be 20 million. Mm. So if you drink three or four pure water a day or three or four plastic bottles of water a day, that's about 90 million pieces of plastic every day. Just from water. We have not mentioned ogogoro sachet, milk sachet, and all the other sachet. Now, all those things block the drain.
True.
When it blocks the drain, 2 hour rain, Lagos is flooded. So that's for instance, if we had functional local government building water treatment plants for each one, liaising with the state government, that problem alone will disappear, not to mention more effective waste management and so forth like that. And there is no developed country where the state government runs waste management. That's the work of the local government, and therefore it is more efficient. Here you have Loma, Sawama, Shokoma, and you know, all kinds of crazy names like that. It is not efficient. So, I mean, this is just one of the implications. They could choke the entire local government system just by liaising from National Assembly to State House of Assembly to block that constitutional amendment. That's just one example. There are dozens. You know, we do not have enough time.
Okay,
go ahead.
Okay, but having said all of this, I know that, yes, the local government autonomy, financial autonomy, but even with the little that the local government gets, is it why they don't get to do their functions, their basic functions? Is it a matter of total lack of funding or total lack of creativity or just loyalty to the governors?
I wouldn't call it loyalty. I would call it political strangulation. Because, yes, in a situation where governors have been known to sack local government and appoint administrators, that's not loyalty. they strangle the elected local government officials and put their own people there. So if by chance you are elected, you are fearful that you will be kicked out if you don't play ball with them. So that's not loyalty, that's strangulation. If the constitutional amendment passes, the governors will not have that power anymore.
Okay.
So that's why we always say on public square, when you are voting, you vote up and down the list. Don't think that one person, one man or woman elected as president will solve all the problem in the country. No. You have to vote up and down for the party or candidate you believe can deliver the best for you at local government, at state, executive, state house of assembly, national assembly. And so you have to vote up and down. Don't concentrate on one person at the top. You know, there are about 10,000 elected officials in Nigeria.
Okay.
If you follow me on Twitter, you would have seen me. If you follow me on Twitter at Rotimi Sankore, you would have seen me tweeting about this over the last week or so. You know, just to quickly remind people, if you look at the lists of elected officials in Nigeria, you know, there is one president, one vice president, there are 36 governors with their deputies, there are 109 senators, 360 House of Rep, I believe, House of Assembly, 991. Local government chairman, 774. And the councillors estimated at about 7,740 or so. Maybe 7,750, depending on which state. If you put all of them together, these are about 10,000 people. So about 10,000 people run the democracy of the country are supposed to. And people are concentrating on one individual, one, thinking that if that one person is elected, the person will solve all their problems. I mean, can't you see how people are setting themselves serious disappointments?
Hello, you know what? We need to go on this quick break right now, okay? And we'll be back right after.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is the Public Square.
Tell you about Public Square. There are several lines that meet other edges.
Youth of this country who are already in a disillusioned, disenchanted state will be encouraged.
Where we talk about the fine margin. Sometimes it's black, white, and blurry.
It's also informed by the need to save costs and reduce legislative time.
Then there are the actors right at the center, coming through political processes, which could be dramatic.
To the extent of this disbursement, if Parliament does not raise this money.
And controversial.
If driving to the roads is a getting the macabre is that of government.
And there's you to help connect the dots from the top to the bottom. Join Rotimi Sankore and Arogo Obo at the Public Square every Friday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Harry, welcome back. It's still the Public Square on 99.3 Nigeria Info. My name is Binga Oreshogun, standing in for Arogo Obo. And we still have Rotimi Sankore. Rotimi Sankore is still there.
Yes, I'm Brenda. Thank you.
All right. So, Rotimi Sankore, so let's move straight to another talking point here. Let's look at the rise of placeholder politics to beat INEC deadlines. Now, what does this say about the preparedness of political parties and its candidates?
It highlights really that many of the political parties and candidates are either not well prepared, don't plan ahead, or don't anticipate unforeseen circumstances very well. And many of them are improvising as they go along. And if you are improvising when you are running, especially for president, it suggests that there may be a few costly mistakes along the way. Now, the most prominent of such possible costly mistake is that if you are running for president, you have a deadline to submit your name and that of your running mate, that is the vice presidential candidate, and you don't, and you put in a placeholder. For instance, as in the case of APC with Bola Tinubu, or as in the case of the Labour Party with Peter Obi and a few others, but those are the two most prominent. The most significant possible costly mistake or own goal could be that the person whose name you put forward, a so-called placeholder, could refuse to step down, because under the new Electoral Act, the person has to withdraw voluntarily and write to the party. The party then informs INEC, which we double check with the person, that the person stepped down. If the person doesn't step down, you are stuck with the person. You are stuck with the person. So it's not, it's not a strategy that should be taken lightly at all. Some people would argue, in fact, that if you are going to do a placeholder, two things you need to consider. One is that you have a lot of trust in the person, in as much as you can trust another politician, that the person will voluntarily withdraw when you bring the other name. And two, that if the person does not withdraw, that the person meets as much of the criteria as you would have wanted the best possible running mate to have. So to give two examples now of APC and the Labour Party, we talked about identity politics on the program before, on Public Square before, and the dangers and implications. Identity politics being when people don't talk about ideology, they don't talk about manifesto, they don't talk about integrity. All they are saying is this person is a Muslim, this person is a Christian, this person is a Northerner, this person is a Southerner, this person is Hausa, this person is Igbo. As if the person's religion, geographical or ethnic origin can improve your working conditions, can improve your education. Yeah, I mean, it can't. But it seems to be a significant factor now in choosing running mates. Now, if at all those things should be a factor,
okay,
isn't it best combined with competence, that you are getting the most competent person that represents a combination of ethnicity, geography, and religion? Can any of the presidential candidates now that have put placeholder now say that any of those people they put as placeholder represents the best incompetence in terms of what they will want to present? If those people don't step back, what happens? So it's a big risk, and it suggests that people are not thinking things through. Of course, in the case of Peter Obi, many people seem to grant him a lot of leeway on many things. And I've had people say, oh, you know, he only joined Labour Party the week before. Well, I mean, it may be a master stroke, but isn't it something he could have considered earlier, knowing that there is a timetable for INEC and that it could have saved him problem? Who knows? I mean, will he overcome it? Who knows? In the case of Bola Tinubu, touted as a master strategist that has never lost an election. I mean, that part is true. I don't recall him having lost an election in which he contested. It doesn't mean he will win every election he contests for in the future. But if you are a master strategist and you have lifelong ambition and you have not worked out this conundrum of running mates for the last 30 years, and it suggests that there is a shortcoming in the strategy. Now, that is what concerns them. What concerns us as ordinary citizens that will suffer or gain if any of them becomes president? That is, when I mean gain, I mean improvement in living condition,
okay,
or worsening in our living conditions.
Yes.
The implication will be that if any such person wins,
okay,
and the placeholder is not the best possible person, if you have a Yar'Adua situation, which led to Goodluck with Jonathan becoming president, and that person becomes president, then we are stuck with it. And I mean, seriously, you can't rule out that such a thing can happen. You can't. So it means that if that kind of thing happens, Nigeria will have to suffer the consequence of a placeholder that is seriously less competent than the presidential candidate for 4 years. I mean, can you imagine such a tragedy at this time in our country? You know, so all these things, it will have implication for the presidential candidate, but it has more grievous implication for us as citizens. If such a person by chance then becomes a president. So, I mean, these are not things that should be taken lightly. And I know that, you know, the Electoral Act is supposed to try to fix things. I mean, people will remember what happened in Kogi, I believe.
Okay.
When somebody won a party ticket and passed away before the election. and cost. I mean, it's not a laughing matter, but it costs, you know, it costs people to think twice.
Exactly.
And with benefit of hindsight, many people laugh at it now. With benefit of hindsight, many people laugh and say, oh my goodness, what happened there? So the Electoral Act is supposed to address all those things. Has it? No. So is there a chance that the Electoral Act can be properly looked at again by the National Assembly going forward? All constitutions are work in progress, but we must always try to have the most perfect constitution for the times we are in. Hence, if you look at a country like America,
okay,
they have First Amendment, Second Amendment, Third Amendment, Fourth Amendment. We've just gone through a wave of constitutional amendments. Some people would say, in fact, that the premise of the 1999 constitution in Nigeria we the people is false, because the people never wrote that constitution. It was the outgoing military regime with a couple of bureaucrats. Does the constitution have good parts? Yes. Does it have faulty parts? Yes. Can it be improved upon? Yes. But, you know, that aspect now, which is being exploited for the placeholder thing, it may have serious implications. May I mention quickly, Gbenga, that there is an important bit of news regarding the Electoral Act.
Okay.
Which is, if you've been following the news properly, you would have noted. If you haven't, you may not have noted, hence to mention, that a few days ago, the Supreme Court struck out the suits filed against the National Assembly by President Buhari, which challenged the legality of Section 84 of the amended as the current Electoral Act. And the Supreme Court held that President Buhari, having assented to that bill to make it an act in February 2022, has no power to turn around and challenge the legality of the bill that he assented to. So the judgment, as I always say, Google is your friend. In that judgment prepared and delivered by Justice Emmanuel Agim, you know, they declared the action of President Buhari in initiating the case in, quote, a gross abuse of courts by the president. So it means that if that Section 84 is going to be amended, it will be by the next assembly.
Next assembly.
Which will look more closely, yes, which will look more closely at this placeholder politics issue.
Okay, so the fact that the president has assented to it, it shows that the court cannot do anything about it until the next National Assembly. All right, Rotimi Sankara, we have some messages here, and in about 3 minutes, we'll be going on a break. Okay, do you mind I read out some messages for you so that you react to them?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
All right, this one says... Okay, this one says, good evening, Rotimi and the person holding brief for today. Having listened to the January 6th, 2021 public hearing yesterday, it was very obvious that what Nigerian political appointees considers a taboo was actually what saved American democracy. Now, how do I mean? Well, after the past unconventional President Donald Trump failed in an attempt to overturn the will of the electorate through the court, he then planned achieving same result through the Department of Justice. When he threatened to sack the then acting Attorney General and to replace him with an environmental lawyer, but he received the shock of his life when all the senior members of the Department of Justice told him to his face at the meeting of the 3rd January that he should not, that he should try to, that he should... Should he try to go that route, they all resign en masse. That was when he decided to send out the criminals that sacked the Congress while the lawmakers was assembled to confirm the candidate Joe Biden as the president-elect. What I'm saying here is that out of selfishness of political appointees in Nigeria will rather drown with their than to resign. Sorry for my lengthy message. Thanks from Tony from Birmingham, Alabama. Okay, we have this other message here. This one says... Okay, this one says, that's just it. You want to react to that, but before you react to that, we'll be going on this short break again, okay? And when we're back, we'll continue with the discussion, Rotimi.
No problem.
All right, then. Still the Public Square, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Go on this break, and we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
We'll be right back.
Let me tell you about Public Square. There are several lines that meet other edges.
Youth of this country are already in a disillusioned, disenchanted state. We'll be encouraged.
Where we talk about the fine margins. Sometimes it's black, white, and blurry.
It's also informed by the need to save costs and reduce legislative time.
Then there are the actors right at the center, coming through political processes, which could be dramatic.
To the extent of this impeachment, if Parliament does not raise this money.
And controversial.
If driving to the roads is engaging the macabre, capability is that of government.
And there's you to help connect the dots from the top to the bottom. Join Rotimi Sankore and Arogo Obo at the Public Square every Friday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. 99.3 Nigeria Info.
All right, still the Public Square on 99.3 Nigeria Info. My name is Benga and I'm standing in for Agogo Obo. If you just joined us, it's the Public Square. I've been able to talk about lots of issues, all right, and we still have Rotimi Sankore online. We've been able to look at the Ekiti State governorship elections, talking about highlighting the Third Force Party, which came second, beating one of the so-called big two political parties. And Rotimi Sankore has been able to talk about most of those things. And we also looked at the issue of 26 former governors who are reported to be running for the National Assembly. We also looked at its implication. Now, before we went on the break, we talked about the rise of placeholder politics to beat INEC deadlines and talking about the preparedness of political parties and candidates. Rotimi, are you still there?
Yes. I was going to respond to Tony from Alabama.
Yes.
It's rather long message.
Really long.
Yes. So, well, it's been interesting watching the congressional hearings in America.
Okay.
On the January 6th insurrection by Trump supporters to try and stop the swearing in of Joe Biden. I'm not the swearing in, to try and stop the certification.
Yes.
Of the votes for Joe Biden. It's really been interesting. I mean, it's like democracy in action. You know, how, as Tony was mentioning, former Justice Department officials stated under oath, testified under oath, how former President Trump summoned them and told them to find legal loopholes and ways which the election outcome could be stopped or overturned. And all of them, all the senior ones said no. In fact, he called them in individually, called them collectively, and it was when he threatened to replace them with a very junior lawyer from the Environment Department of the Ministry of Justice that all of them said, look, that's the last straw. If President Trump elevates that guy, and note, the Justice Department in the U.S. is not just in Washington, it's across the country. So really hundreds would have quit. Hundreds would have quit, if not thousands. Now Tony is saying, can the same thing happen in Nigeria? Well, it is possible. Look, I just quoted a Supreme Court judgment against the sitting President Buhari just a few days ago. And it is not just that the Supreme Court ruled against President Buhari. The justice that was reading that prepared and read, he said that the action, that's Buhari's case, is a gross abuse of the court process.
Okay.
I mean, it takes a lot. It takes, you know, courage to do what you ought to do. So it shows that it can be done in Nigeria. Look, even under military regime, Chief Justice Oputa, otherwise known as Charlie Boy's daddy.
Okay.
it's always funny when you are known more for your one of your children than for your own work, you know. But Chief Justice Oputa, extremely courageous. Under military regime, the worst of military regimes in the history of Nigeria, regularly ruled against the military regime. So it's not entirely new that the legal system holds. And, you know, there are other judges that have done it as well. I mean, federal and state governments don't win every case that they take to court. So the courts have a record of holding. We just want more of them, all of them, to be able to hold. Now, the equivalent of the Justice Department is the Ministry of Justice in Nigeria, which goes more to Tony's point. We've called over and over and over that in Nigeria, the office of the Attorney General needs to be separated from the office of the Minister of Justice. Unless it is done, we cannot have due process in Nigeria. The respect for the law we not hold in Nigeria. This conflation of the two positions, Attorney General and Minister of Justice, effectively puts the person in the back pocket of the president. Because on the one hand, you cannot be the chief legal advisor to the president, and on the other hand, be standing for the people. Because if you commit a crime, it is the state versus you. So if the person is supposed to, you know, play, you know, if the whole thing is mixed up, then it doesn't hold. So that is the first thing we need to do in Nigeria before we start talking of our own Justice Department holding up. And as Ayo was discussing with her colleague Sam on ideas, the idea of first line charge has to be upheld. I mean, the courts, you know, the Justice Department, all those people should get their budget and everything independent of whatever the government thinks of them. You see, our Supreme Court justices now writing open petition against the CJ, complaining that there is no diesel to work with, amongst other things. So there are some tweaks we need to make. First line charge for key sectors, separation of the Attorney General and the Minister of Justice and so forth. When all those things are done, you will see more people of courage that are standing up. Some people think that INEC is wonky, but another piece of news that is just coming out. Now, if you want to read the Supreme Court judgment against President Buhari, please go to at Public Square NG. Normally, we curate all these things for you from multiple news sources, so you can see for yourself at Public Square NG. Find the link, click, and you can read the excerpts of the judgment for yourself. Another piece of news which we have curated for you at Public Square NG is the INEC record showing that Bashir Sheriff Mashina is the recognized candidate for APC Yobe North and not Lawan, the Senate President. Everybody knows this story and everybody has been watching very carefully. Senate President Lawan ran for president. And in running for president, reportedly put a placeholder to hold the Senate seats for him. Other people did it. Some other governors and people that ran for president or other, you know, put placeholder. Now, okay, their placeholder agreed and stepped down. And so one of the people that ran for president in PDP, for instance, a governor, is now running for Senate because the placeholder stepped down after he lost to Atiku. Now, in the case of Lawan in the APC, the reported placeholder has refused to step down. That's what I was talking about earlier.
Okay.
About the presidential candidates and their running mates. Although the context is slightly different because this is not a joint ticket. These are two separate tickets. But people put placeholder, oh, if you lose the other one, you come back to the lower position.
Okay.
It seems that the Senate president may not be returning to the Senate because INEC has made public or has allowed people to see the document certifying that INEC only recognizes the primary at which Bashir Sheriff Mashina emerged as the candidate for Yobe North, which means the Senate president cannot run if this holds consistent. Now, some people think INEC is wonky, but if this holds consistent, it means that INEC has said, well, we monitored only one primary. This is the person that emerged, and we were recognizing only that primary. So it is not the case that institutions don't hold, that they don't hold the line in Nigeria. But we want more institutions, more public officials to hold the line so that it becomes the norm, so that people won't be thinking, ah, Kevin Adem appoint them. You know, you not go do the thing where the masses want. You go do the thing where the government people want, and so forth like that. So Tony has raised an important point, which I've tried to clarify with the applicable nuances. Once those nuances are addressed, we will have more public officials of courage standing against any senior government official that tries to abuse process or the law.
Okay, all right, we have another message here. This one says, imagine where a sitting president filled over 60 court cases challenging the outcome of an election and behold, lost them all. Some even before the judges appointed by him, because he thinks, like most of Nigerian politicians, that since he is the president, that he can achieve anything he so wished for. If such occasions arise in Nigeria, our courts will be issuing injunctions left and right, and the former governors will rush to go to the Senate after their tenure as governor. It's not only because they want to remain in power, but because they want to hide there to avoid facing the EFCC for the financial crimes committed by them while serving as governors becomes more or less cold case. Thanks, Tony, from Birmingham, Alabama. All right, so you want to react to that, or should we move straight to the next?
Not necessarily, because I mean, we've covered the ground. I mean, President Trump initiated 60 court cases to try and overturn President Biden's victory and lost all the 60 court cases. Well, actually, he initiated 61 cases.
Okay.
Lost 60. The one he won was inconsequential because it was a procedural thing. Okay. You know, it wasn't, yeah. But the 60 major ones to try and overturn by the Biden victory, he lost. Now, summarily, what Tony from Alabama is saying again is, will a government lose 60 cases in Nigeria against somebody who has won an election? Well, look, they are judges, especially in some of the federal high courts or in the state high courts, that issue injunction, knowing very well that another court has ruled on the same case, and okay, you know, they just muddy the waters. Okay. All those things need to be straightened out. But all those things, you know, it's another issue which the NBA, the body of benchers and so forth, are trying to clean up, because okay, some of those judges claim that they are not aware that somebody has been fishing around to okay, try and get a judgment or injunction. But okay, look, we will address those matters, look, after the election. We will see a lot of legal cases.
Okay.
So it will give us an opportunity to address this fishing for injunction and ruling.
Okay.
Sometimes from courts of the same jurisdiction.
Okay. All right, if you just joined us, it's the Public Square. My name is Binga, standing in for Argo Obo. We have Rotimi Sankore giving us analysis there. Now, so Rotimi, let's move on to the next issue. And this happens to be our final issue. There is a surge for voter registration, but there is the shortage of registration centers and machines. Now, the question that now resonates is, should the NIN be used as basis for PVCs? Because there is a call for NIN to be used as a basis for PVC. Now, is this, looking at the question, is this the best solution to solve the issue of voter registration bottlenecks? Let's look at the pros and cons.
It would be the best solution, but there are some things that need to be put in place. So, for instance, the NIN has no business in the Ministry of Digital and Digital Economy, Ministry of Communication and Digital Economy. The NIN has no business there. That's an abuse of process completely. National identity in all developed countries in the world. National identity is domiciled in the Ministry of Planning in coordination with the local governments and hospitals where people are born, because the national identity is a basis for planning. So the fact that it is in the wrong place causes a problem already. The national identity we have now, I mean, to be truthful, if as they say on the street, if we don't want to deceive ourselves, it is being used as a basis now for regime security, because it is tied to your phone number, but it is not tied to any other thing. It's not tied to planning for education. It is not tied to planning for any other dividend of democracy. It is tied primarily to your digital assets, so that your phone number can be tracked, you know, who you are talking to can be monitored, you can be monitored in real time where you are standing and so forth. It's not a coincidence that it came up mostly around the end SARS time. And we saw billions being appropriated at the same time to monitor WhatsApp and things like that. I'm yet to hear of bandits or anybody successfully prosecuted for calling for ransom. You know, they grab somebody and they call for ransom and the phone number was used to catch them. I'm yet to hear of it being successfully done. So the fact that, you know, it is tied to monitoring, to, you know, security. I mean, what was sold to people was that it will stop criminality, which it clearly has not. It clearly has not. But once we saw those budgets moving through the National Assembly to monitor WhatsApp and things, we knew exactly where it was going. Because if you are, in quote, a dissident, a security threat, and so forth like that, all those budgets are meant for you to monitor you, who you're having conversation with, where you are going, who you are, and so on and so forth. Now, if the name, the national identity, is domiciled where it is supposed to be, in the Ministry of Planning, then you can see developmental issues being applied to it. Every Nigerian, when you are born, should be given a national identity number. It should have nothing to do with your telephone. In developed countries, call your social security number, you know, or whatever it is called in that country.
Okay.
So it is attached to you, it is unique to you, and it is used for demographic planning in between census. So they can tell how many people have been born this year. Where are they living? Where do they need to go to school? What kind of health services do they need? What kind of transport do they need from here to there? As they get older, you know, how much is needed for pension? How much is needed for healthcare for older people? How many schools do you need to build in a local government area? How many primary? How many secondary? And so forth like that. Now, if the NIN is moved to planning,
okay,
to planning ministry, supported by the local government, then it can be used as a basis for PVC, because you can't have two national identities. It means that all these multiple registration and so forth will become useless. It is because it is not in the Ministry of Planning, supported by local government, that is why you have to register for this separately, register for that separately. I mean, I recall one, I mean, somebody asking me, I mean, a Nigerian who came to visit, asking me, you know, what is this thing about capture? Why is it described as capture? You are going somewhere to be captured. Why is that? Capture is a violent act.
It sounds scary.
But in Nigeria, the government uses it routinely. Go there to be captured. Go here to be captured. Go there to be captured. Go. And person was like, why can't I just have one number? You know? So if it is moved to planning, supported by local government, and all adults getting in now, and all the children being born are issued NIN with their birth certificate, automatically it can be used for PVC, So all these multiple budgets, wasting money, wasting people's time, causing anxiety, asking people to search to need center during COVID, which would have caused a catastrophe. Young people now searching for PVC, asking for it to be postponed. All those things will be avoided completely. Not, by the way,
okay,
that the young people searching for PVC are searching because they believe, many of them, that there is now a candidate that if they vote for the person, that it is possible that their living standard will be improved. So that is it. But going forward, should NIN be used, it is a good option, but it has to move to Ministry of Planning. Because without it, the Ministry of Planning cannot plan. We always say it on public school. There is no planning going on in the Ministry of Planning. What is going on there is budgeting. When have you heard that the Minister of Education called all the commissioners of education and said, look, guys, there are 13 million children out of school, proportional to state A, B, C, D, E, F, G. If they remain out of school till when they are 18, the bandits and extremists have a bigger pool to recruit from. So we don't want that problem. And when that happens, you will be calling on the federal government to send army to come and save you in your state. So we need you to make that investment now. There is matching funds at the federal level which can be used to support primary and federal. You have not drawn on it. Draw on it immediately. We need to see those primary schools in your state. Those things can't happen without planning. It needs coordination. We need clusters in the government. The Ministry of Education, for instance, should be clustered with the Ministry of Youth. What is the Ministry of Youth doing with sports? The Minister of Youth is the Minister of Sports. Old people engage in sports. Youth should be with education. Science and technology should be with education. I mean, not as one ministry, but working in a cluster. In a cluster of five or six. You know, technology, science, education, youth, you know, like that. They should be working in clusters, planning together. But it can't happen unless, you know, the key tool for planning is in the Ministry of Planning. And a key part of planning is planning for democracy, to make it less costly. So the fact that INEC has to, you know, do machines to capture you, you know, then print your PVC, the machines are not enough, the young people are angry, you can see a clear shortcoming there. There is no developed country where all these things happen. They come and register, come and be captured, come and collect. The water regulation is about to happen. All right, turn up with any valid ID and you vote.
Yeah, so, Sam, write to me, we need to go on this quick break right about now, okay? And we'll be right back.
99.3 Nigeria Info.
Your number one station for talk. Let's talk.
Tell you about Public Square. There are several lines that meet at the edges.
Youth of this country who are already in a disillusioned, disenchanted state will be encouraged.
Where we talk about the fine margin. Sometimes it's black, white, and blurry.
It's also informed by the need to save costs and reduce legislative time.
Then there are the actors right at the center, coming through political processes, which could be dramatic.
To the extent of this impeachment, if Parliament does not raise this money.
And controversial.
If driving through the roads is engaging the macabre, is that of government.
And there's you to help connect the dots from the top to the bottom. Join Rotimi Sankore and Aroho Obo at the Public Square every Friday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. 99.3 Nigeria Info.
right, still 99.3 Nigeria Info, still the public square. My name is Binga Oreshego, and I'm standing in for Agogo Obo. Right about now, I'm still trying to reconnect with Rotimi Sankere. But earlier on the show, we've been able to look at the issues arising from the Ekiti governorship elections, talking about the reflections. And also, we talked about the third force party that came second, beating one of the so-called big two political parties. Now, Rotimi Sankere was able to talk about that. We also looked at that up to 26 former governors reported to be running for the National Assembly. 26. Well, all right, we also looked at the implication of 26 former governors going into the National Assembly vis-a-vis talk about the local government autonomy. And we also looked at its implications. We also talked about the rise of placeholder politics to beat INEC deadlines, talking about the preparedness of political parties and also its candidates. Also on Public Square, we also looked at the search for voter registration, talking about the shortage of registration centres and machines. Rosemary Sankara was able to look at the NIN. Should it be used as a basis for PVC? Because, you know, there's been calls for the NIN to be used as a basis for the PVC. Now, trying to look at, is this the best solution to solve voter registration and bottlenecks? But anyway, on the show, we have some messages right here on WhatsApp. This one says, hi, my name is Okpekende from Ijegun. He says, it is so unfortunate where we find ourselves. We don't have leaders, but dealers without conscience. I don't think if the present constitution will allow any incoming candidate, except the constitution is totally reviewed, reformed and amended. Without the amendments, the country is going nowhere. We should all learn to cherish each other, or else we're going nowhere as a country. Still looking at more messages. This one says a section of the country are the brains behind. Rotimi, please remember that when the 8th National Assembly invited the then IGP to clear the allegation about selling or assigning police officers to highest bidder, how the Attorney General went to the court and secured an injunction and the National Assembly, and that allegation was not addressed, and that practices is still going on in a country without any issue that doesn't have enough policemen, even including assigning them men and women with questionable material wealth. Thanks. That's Tony from Birmingham, Alabama. Still from Tony from Birmingham, he says that a section of the country are the brains behind Nigeria not having standard means of identifying a Nigerian citizen. That same section is now rushing the NIN for obvious reasons. Tony still went on to say that I went to the US as an adult, but to obtain my first American passport takes only a visit to my local post office because the system simply identified me by my social security number. Pure and simple, and the US passports last for 10 years. Driver's license serves for between 6 to 10 years, and in Belgium, their driver's license is for life unless there's reason to suspend same for an offense or medical reasons. Nigerian rulers are making lives unbearable for Nigerians year in, year out. Thanks, Tony from Birmingham. Still from Tony. All right, thank you, Tony, for Tony from Birmingham. All right, this one is from Goki from the UK. He says that oil subsidies are a scam. Removing subsidy in this situation is another scam. Refineries must be in place before the subsidy can be removed. All right, this one says, Goki from the UK. Here in the UK, there is electoral roll which is used to register you for your home address and also used for voting in that area only. So if you change address, you will need to do another registration. That's talking about the NIN registration, multiple registration. All right, that's from Goki from UK. This one says, good evening, sir. Your guest is amazing. Okay, thank you. All right, this one says, hi guys, this is Chijoke from Surulere. Rotimi is just cracking me up, and the word capture. So we've been captured. It's still the public square, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Still trying to re-establish connection with Rotimi Sankore right about now. Still the public square. Right about now, we have Rotimi Sankore back. Rotimi.
Yes, I'm with you. Thank you.
Okay, so did you get to hear all of the comments on WhatsApp?
Yes.
You want to react to any of them?
No, I mean, just the one saying that one section of the country is the one responsible for all the problems. I mean, that's blatantly not correct. That's blatantly not correct. I mean, we had President Obasanjo there for 8 years. Before then, he was a military dictator with absolute power. The current president is from the north. He's almost 8 years. Before then, he was military dictator with more or less absolute power. Are they from the same part of the country? No, and so forth. So, I think it's not, fair to be doing all this. One part of the country is to blame type of statement.
Okay, this message also says that... he says that my name is Ope Kende from Ijegun. He said it is unfortunate where we find ourselves that we don't have leaders but dealers without conscience. I don't think if the present constitution will allow any common candidate, except the constitution is totally reviewed, reformed and amended. Without this amendment, the country is going nowhere. We should all learn to cherish each other or else we're going nowhere as a country.
Well, again, the constitution has many flaws.
Okay.
But don't forget, when President Yar'Adua passed away,
okay,
some people tried to stop Jonathan from becoming president.
Yes, true.
Which is what and the constitution held. The constitution held the line and Jonathan became president. So sometimes, general statements are not helpful. It is important to nuance everything or be very specific. If somebody makes a general statement saying one part of the country is to blame, does that suggest that all the southern politicians have done their best for Nigeria? That's not true. The constitution is flawed, but, Jonathan became president, even though some people thought that by a law that did not exist, another part of the country should reappoint another president without election and bypass the constitution. So, there are times when the constitution works and works as it should. There are times when it is undermined. There are times when the flaws in it do not work well. We need to nuance. We need to be specific. General statements, sometimes bordering on hate speech, are not proper. It is those people, it is these people, it is their religion, it is where they are from. No, first of all, it is inaccurate. It is not factual.
Okay.
It is false. Yes, you can't make general statements like that. No, it doesn't work. And especially not on radio. Especially not on radio. All these general statements that blames one part of the country or another, sometimes it borders on hate speech, and people really need to be very careful. You need to work with data, facts, constitutional rights, global standards, and so forth. Granted that not everybody knows this thing, but everybody should try to learn, and if you don't know, be restrained.
All right, this one says, this is from Goki from the UK. He says that here in the UK, there is electoral roll, which is used to register you for your home address and also used for voting in that area only. So if you change address, you will need to do another registration. Okay.
Well, I mean, the direct explanation for that is because they have a parliamentary system. You know, they don't vote for presidents. So if you move, your parliamentarian changes. So you need to be able to vote for another parliamentarian to represent you. So it is not because of bottleneck. It is a practical reason.
Okay.
You know, it's a practical reason. Yeah, if you move from one section of the country to another, your parliamentarian changes. So you can't vote where you were before.
Okay.
You don't count. You are not in that constituency anymore.
Okay. All right, this one says, my name is Stanley from Egbe. Something should be done in terms of PVC. Even after registering with the INEC, I doubt if INEC will make it available for people to use during the election. This has been my fear.
Well, you know, it is not that INEC does not want to make it available. It is that the process is not smooth. And, you know, and that is why we had that earlier discussion about your national identity being assigned to you at birth, or your social security number assigned to you at birth, and connected to the dividends of democracy, you know, for your education, your health, and so forth like that. If we are doing NIN now and say, okay, we want to try and catch up, and all the adults have been doing NIN, the flaw in domiciling NIN in the Ministry of Communication is that the Ministry of Communication can then say that local government should henceforth be issuing NIN. That's the work of the Ministry of Planning and local government and so forth like that. So, and that's why I explained as I did earlier. You know, that's why I explained as I did earlier. So, one organization called INEC trying to process voter registration for every adult in the country within a very short time, with a limited budget, with staff that have never done this before, with, you know, not enough machines, not enough trained people. So it is not that INEC is deliberately making sure that people don't get their PVC. It is that the system is overloaded. You know, people need to identify those problems. Okay. Because when you identify the problems, you can solve it. If you make a general statement that will INEC give you the card, it suggests that INEC has put it in the back pocket and sat on it and folded their arms and said, I will not give you. In which case, what is the solution there?
All right, we have another message. This one says, Elijah Ogogo. INEC are trying to frustrate our youths trying to get their voters card by not providing machines at the unit. And at some places, Muslims will come and send all the Christians away not to register. They will ask you to bring Lagos State residence permit. And some place you've got to register as a political party member.
No, please. Please.
He's,
you know,
saying
people should stop all this. You know, people should stop all this. When Christians go to collect, Muslims will send you away. Where did this happen?
Exactly.
In how many places? What is the scale of this problem? Is it that in Lagos you went to collect your voter's card and somebody who you say is Muslim said, oh, you are Christian, you will not get it? Is that what happens everywhere? Of course not. Now, we heard about the places where people went and they said, if you show your Lagos card, you will, you know, that will process you.
Talking about the Lagos State residence permit.
Yes, that was well reported, and that shouldn't be the case. Now, the people who were saying it, are they INEC staff? Were they people standing in front of the registration center trying to discourage people? All those things need to be investigated, but no INEC staff will, should, or has the power to say to you, get a Lagos State card before you get your voter's card. No, no INEC staff has the power to do so. What if you just moved to Lagos yesterday? Are they saying you can't vote in Lagos? There is no connection between the two. But this suggestion that
Christians are being told, you know, this is what I said earlier, that borders on hate speech. Saying that somebody did something because they have a particular religion in a particular place without providing the evidence, and you are sending it to a radio station to amplify it for you, or to say it uncritically or without analyzing it. Those kind of things can cause problems. So I would urge people, desist from sending such messages. If you have clear evidence, verifiable, and we can double check it, then it can be reported as news.
All right, listen, let's begin to round up.
Let me just say quickly, Benga, if it is some kind of prejudice people have in their mind that all Christians behave a certain way, all Muslims behave a certain way, then no.
All right, we need to go on this quick break, you know, right about now, okay? But Resume, quickly round off your thought so that we can just go into this break.
Yes, well, the program is more or less coming to an end, you know. I will just say, you know, join us next Friday, 4 p.m. 99.3 for more of these updates on Countdown 2023. Things will be moving fast, you know. Sometimes we'll get shockers. Sometimes, you know, things will move properly. But the updates and clarifications and fact-based analysis are part of the process. You know, we welcome your views, but your views need to be, you know, moderated by common sense and consideration for others. So join us again, Public Square, 4 p.m. 99.3 next week.
All right, thank you so much, Rotimi Sankore. My name is Benga Oreshego. I actually stood in for Ayogo this beautiful evening. We'll be back next week. Have a beautiful evening.